السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام. فلما كرام وسسبكتس برذرز اند اور سسترز لسن فور ريسيورز، وانس اگین دس جمعہ وی ہیو ہیڈ ان نکاح اینڈ وی آلسو ہیو اے جنازہ آفٹر دی جمعہ صلاۃ. دیٹ از لائف. سم ٹائمز اٹ از نکاح، sometimes it is mouth and death. Those homes in which at one time there was happiness, there was rejoicing, there was eating and drinking and festivity, then after some time in that same home we hear that somebody passed away. So that is life. Therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the Quran Sharif tells us: الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. Allah Ta'ala created death and He created life so that He may test who does the best of deeds from amongst you. Now this you have heard many times, that why Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions first death and then life. Whereas we all know that first comes life and then comes death. The reason for that is that if the person keeps death before him, there is a day of departure. Whether we like it or not, there is going to be a day of departure from this world. There's a day of meeting the angel of death. There's a day that we will be transported either to the graveyard or Allah knows best where our death will come. So that person who knows that finally he is going to end up with death, so then his life will come right. At present our lives are not coming right because we don't have death before us. Therefore whether it is our life with our wife or whatever life, but it's not coming right because we do not have mouth in front of us. We believe that whatever we do, there is no one that's going to question us, ask us, we are not accountable. There is no day of judgment. Although we say that we believe in these things, but there is no real belief. The person who truly believes that fire burns, then he does not put his finger into the fire to test it. He believes that it burns. But if he has just a vague knowledge that it burns, then he'll say, let me put my hand into the fire and check whether it burns. So we all say that we believe in the day of judgment, we believe in akhirat, we believe in qiyamah. But whether we truly believe or not, it is our actions which will show that. Therefore, when it comes to nikah also, this is what we have to keep in front of us, that there is going to be a day of departure from this world. So whether it is the day of nikah or whether it is the day of any other celebration, we must not forget the giver of life, and that is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and the controller of our destiny, who is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If we want happiness in that married life, if we want unity, if we want peace, if we want tranquility, then there is no other way out except to obey Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is no other way except to follow the teachings of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in this month of Rabiul Awwal, all over we are talking about the same thing. That without ittiba and without obedience to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, a person cannot even get the love of Allah ta'ala. And he can never ever find peace and happiness and contentment and satisfaction. A person can be very sick, a person can have no money, he can have patched clothes, he can be living in a hut, he can be living in a shack. Or the person can have plenty of wealth and he can be living in a palace, he can be living in a bungalow or a mansion. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not look at those things. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala looks at how much of ittiba and obedience to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam there is, and he gives that much happiness within the heart. The poorest of the poor can have great amount of contentment and satisfaction. In Kabul, Afghanistan, there was a person with patched clothes, no money. After all the bombings and everything that was taking place there, he was virtually penniless. But he was going around with a great smile on his face and say, I'm the richest person in the world. So they said, how can you be the richest person? You don't seem to have anything left. He said, don't I have my iman left with me? Don't I have my Allah with me still? Don't I have my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? So how can I be then poor? So now what is this that gave him such kind of satisfaction and contentment in his heart? So outwardly there can be experiences of pain. And that is natural, a person will feel pain. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he shed tears when he saw his uncle Shahadat, Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala, and that great Nabi of Allah, after Allah the greatest, la yumkinu thana kama kana haqquhu ba'da shuda buzruqtuhi qissa mukhtasar. And he was a rock of patience, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also shed tears. When his son Ibrahim passed away, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam shed tears. But his tongue only said that which was haq. There was no complaint of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That why did Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala take this child of mine away at this age? There was no complaint of Allah ta'ala. In our pains, in our sicknesses, in our weakness, we can go for medical attention and treatment. Nothing wrong with that. And it is required also many a time. It is a sunnah. There are many people who just don't want to take any kind of medical treatment. They said no. We must have tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala. Tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala means that take that medication and after that trust in Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala wills, that medication will become a means of shifa. And if Allah Ta'ala does not will and Allah wants to give something better in return, or it is a test of the person's patience, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will prolong that sickness. But he will get the sawab of following the sunnah. So we must make tafweez after having made tadbeer, meaning after we have adopted the means, then we trust in Allah Ta'ala. Our hearts must trust in Allah Ta'ala, that everything is in His control. But we are living in a world of means, so we'll make use of the means. But when we are making use of the means, we must not believe that the adoption of these means will definitely give us the end result. Nikah is a means towards the attainment of pious and righteous and healthy and good children. It's a means. But can anybody say after the adoption of the means of nikah, the person will definitely be blessed with a very pious, healthy, bubbly child? Can anybody say that? It is a means. The person has adopted it. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now, if he wants to give a healthy child, he will give. And if Allah ta'ala wants to test via that child, many parents are being tested of their sabr and patience. And many parents, Allah Ta'ala wants to give them such kind of rewards in the hereafter that we cannot even imagine. So therefore they have to go through such kind of tests. It's a great ni'mat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that we get Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. But living in a world of means, the person will have to adopt and make use of those means. So nikah also is a means. But it is not something that we can say with certainty that after nikah the person will have righteous and pious and healthy and good children. Or they will grow up to be engineers, doctors, muftis, qaris. Nobody can say that. Only Allah Ta'ala knows that. So the adoption of the means, that is tadbir, and after that must be tafweez, that the person must now not complain of Allah Ta'ala's doings. He has made an adoption of the means, so now he can complain to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala of his weakness. If the person is going through difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering, so then he can complain to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, "Oh my beloved Allah, I am an extremely weak servant of yours. I cannot take any kind of pain and suffering. And even though sometimes sickness and pain and suffering can be a rahmat and a mercy, but being an extremely weak person, I cannot bear it. So therefore you have the mercy of good health. So bless me with the mercy of good health." Children can sometimes be a rahmat, and sometimes they can be an azab. Those children who have been given proper upbringing, they have been given Islamic education, together with that, after that they get secular education, whatever other field and whatever other skills they want to acquire, but they have been given proper upbringing, then those children will become a rahmat for those parents. And those children who have not been given a proper upbringing, the home environment is not conducive to practicing upon Islam. We believe that Taweezes will solve all our problems. Therefore, we can watch all the filthy movies and films and everything in our homes. No namaz, no roza, zakat, no Quran Sharif tilawat, no zikrullah. Our homes, we make them into cinemas on earth. And then we say that Taweezes will solve all our problems. They will never ever solve any problem. Once you anger Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is displeased, and Allah ta'ala has decided that this person now needs a shake up, and an azab must come on him. So then will Taweezes stop all that azab? However, if the person is doing everything right, and then some kind of test comes, the person loses his wealth, the person loses his health, the person loses his children. So many Sahaba Kiram radiallahu anhum ajmain, they left everything in Makkah Sharif and went to Madina Sharif. So many Awliya Kiram, pious, righteous people, look at the kinds of tests that they undergo. But if you have to ask them, their hearts are filled with a kind of tranquility and sukoon that even the kings of the time and of all times haven't heard of. So this nikah is again a great sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We repeat the same things. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how much of emphasis he placed. Those people who have the ability to marry, they should marry. Marriages are delayed in these days for trivial reasons. And then look at the number of abortions that are taking place. You have absolutely no idea of what is happening. Ask us, because we are dealing with these cases from all sides, not only in our country, from overseas and everywhere. How many people who have been proposed, they have already had abortions because the parents do not want them to get married. She must complete her course, she must get her qualification, she must graduate. In the meantime, they've already had abortions. And so many young boys who are proposed, but now the person must complete this course and that course, and the delay takes place. In the meantime, they cannot control their passions and they are engaged in zina. And then they write to us that what do we do in these cases? So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made this sunnah extremely easy and simple. Why should we prolong it for trivial reasons? Abstinence from sins is what will bring happiness and peace and tranquility. Abstinence from sins. If there is a kind of courting and meeting and with the compliments of the parents, they are taking those girls out. Because they say, "You are proposed, so it doesn't matter, you must meet her, take her out, get to know her." And then when the marriage breaks, after that it is disaster. Then they want to commit suicide. Or if the proposal breaks, they want to commit suicide. How many young boys and girls, they say, "We have been dumped, we have been rejected." After a period of time, now they say they are not interested. And yet with 2 years or 3 years we have been courting, or even more. So let us follow Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's beautiful teachings. Nikah is an extremely simple thing. And it was something that all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam practiced upon. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will come down and he too will make nikah. After that he will pass away, and when he passes away he will be buried next to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It's only Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Yahya that have been mentioned. But as I said, he too will come down and make nikah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Arba'un min sunanil mursaleen." There are four things which are the sunnats of all those Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam who were sent down onto this earth. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, "At-ta'attur." النكاح والتعتر والسواك والحياء. Other things have been mentioned, but in this particular hadith sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says these four things are the sunnats of the Anbiya. Every Nabi that came to this world, as I said, as Isa alayhi salam will come again and get married. One is nikah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions nikah in so many places in the Quran sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam undertook so many marriages. So if nikah was any kind of obstacle in the person's spiritual progress or gaining Allah Ta'ala's marifat and closeness, there was no question of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam undertaking marriage. It shows that it is something that builds the person up. It gives him a closeness of Allah Ta'ala. إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ الْعَبْدُ فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الْإِيمَانِ فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهِ فِي نِصْفِ الْبَاقِيَ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. The person who has made nikah, he has completed half his faith. Now he must fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in all other aspects of life to complete the other half. Now that does not mean that if a person cannot get a wife or the boy cannot find a suitable bride for himself, or there are some valid reasons where the person cannot get married, so they will always live with half iman. It doesn't mean that. Those people will have to make an extra effort. That is what is required now. This, because half the time the person, it is his passions which makes him go off beat and derail him. And look at the kind of problems that our societies and nation is facing when it comes to this unbridled passion. When the person is unable to control his passion, so then he doesn't see whether it's my mother or sister or aunt or granny or anybody. He doesn't see what the age is also. He doesn't see what the color is. Shaitan and nafs overpower the person. Instead of him riding the horse, now the horse rides him. So Shariat has taken care of our needs, our requirements, our passions, our desires, and given us a kind of beautiful way of life within which everything is accommodated. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that that is the first, that it is sunnat of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Now we don't have the time to go into all detailed discussion of nikah now. So I'll just give you just the meaning of this hadith sharif in a nutshell, and we'll terminate. So immediately after the Jummah Salat, we'll have the janaza, and then you make your sunnat namazes. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says the nikah. Then Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam says that ta'attur. Every Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he used itar, perfume, fragrance. It is something that is desired. The angels of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they also do not like anything that is filthy, smelling and dirty. Look at the beauty in it. For whose benefit is it? It's for our benefit. But at the same time, I repeat what I have mentioned somewhere, that in some masajid they've got this habit of taking a bottle of ether and going and applying on everybody's clothes and hands. Now that should not be done, because sometimes some of those fragrances and perfumes are very strong and somebody is allergic to it. So therefore we must first ask the person, is this okay for you? Let him just have a small sniff. But let the sniff not be such that he goes on a high. Don't give him the sniff of something that puts him on a high. But if it's genuine ether and perfume, then let him sniff a little bit and tell you after that if it's okay to apply. Nevertheless, to apply some perfume to make the masjid and clothes and everything a little bit nice smelling. Now that is the sunnah of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Then siwak, to use the miswak. Now again the freshness of the mouth and the freshness of the breath. How much of emphasis Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam placed on the miswak. لَوْلَا أَنَا شُقَّ لَا أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ صَلَاةٍ وَكَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That if I did not consider it to be a difficulty for the ummah, then I would have made it compulsory for them to make miswak at the time of every salat. Now whose benefit in this miswak? Ask all the doctors and the dentists and everybody else that miswak up for keeping the teeth brushed and clean, how much of benefit. The miswak has got so many benefits now, all the different kinds of miswak and what are the benefits, there's no time for that. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, different occasions he used to make miswak. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he prohibited the use of raw onions and garlic. If a person eats raw onion and garlic, he doesn't go to the masjid. because the mouth is going to have a bad odor. Now, if that is the case with something that is halal, then what about those things that are totally haram? And what about those people who have the habit of smoking, and then just before namaz, they come gargle their mouth and stand in the saf, and the terrible odor that the person next to him gets. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the mother's stomach also did not allow the nourishment of the child, which is actually the blood of the mother, the impure blood which she passes every month. Now that becomes the nourishment of the child. That is the qudrat of Allah ta'ala. But even there, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protected the mouth, and through the umbilical cord, the child is nourished in the mother's stomach. He protected the mouth, because this mouth was not for filthy and dirty purposes. This mouth was not for filthy and dirty purposes, understand what I am saying. With this mouth we were going to read the kalima. With this mouth we were going to read the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We are going to read the Quran Sharif. Every now and again the Muslim has to use the word of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the name of Allah ta'ala. When he wants to do something tomorrow or later in the day, and how many times we have to say inshallah tomorrow, inshallah this afternoon, inshallah after asr, inshallah after zuhur. So he's taking the name of Allah ta'ala. Now what about the filthy mouth with which he's taking it? How many times the person has to say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un? Any kind of difficulty, hardship, pain and suffering, the person says inna lillah. How many times you have to congratulate a person and you say mashallah, mashallah. How many times you have to make salam to a person who says, assalamu alaikum, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So should we not keep the mouth free of all dirt and filth and smell and bad odor, and then take the name of Allah Ta'ala. So miswak, and the last thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned is haya, shame, modesty. Now this is a subject we can keep talking for days and days, it won't finish. But haya and modesty to come into the light. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make this nikah also a mubarak nikah, unite the hearts of the husband and wife, give both of them the tawfiq to fulfill each other's rights, give muhabbat in the families, and Allah ta'ala must make it the means of pious and righteous children coming into this world. And may Allah remove the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering of the ummah around the globe. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.